Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast, presented by Paul Spain, Bradley Burrows, and guests.
Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. You are here with Paul Spain
and Bradley Burrows. We are live at WPC, or Microsoft's Worldwide Partner Conference. They've brought us over here to do a summary for the APAC region and the global audience around what's happening over here at WPC, and we're in day three.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us. As we mentioned yesterday, covering the Worldwide Partner Conference means that the topics that we're talking about are quite related to that technology reseller and partner audience, but anyone else is most welcome to listen in. There were a few interesting announcements during the keynote this morning, and we also got a chance to hear from Sir Richard Branson. That was a pretty interesting one, wasn't it, Brad?
Yeah, look, the whole morning's been a series of about three to four huge keynotes, and it really sort of started off with seeing what they're announcing on the Microsoft Partner Network, which is, for a lot of partners and resellers out there, has become the central portal that enables partners to get software resources, but also these new things like Pinpoint and the training facilities. So it was really interesting to see how they've pulled that all together now in one cohesive picture.
There were some good bits and pieces this morning on the Microsoft Partner Network, MPN. I found that quite interesting. It was good to get a little bit of an update on some of those things there. You know, they were highlighting that, you know, partners have a lot of benefits through the MPN, but in a lot of cases don't make use of them. Areas such as the learning centre to really, you know, get your people skilled up on all the latest products, making use of Pinpoint, the partner technical support. There's actually some quite good capabilities there through forums and so on that I think in a lot of cases partners just don't realise what's there, what's available to them to draw on.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think it's an untapped resource for a lot of organisations out there that needs to be utilised more. It's part of their what they're entitled to. The more they use it, the more feedback they give it, good or bad, they'll only improve. So,
and it's one of those benefits of being a gold or a silver partner that you get access to more and more resources. So,
yep.
And then of course the internal usage benefits for partners who have jumped through the hoops in terms of training and getting those particular competencies and so on, that they get, you know, extra access to licensing and so on to use internally, and there's a lot of value in that too.
Yeah, and they've also upped the internal usage rights for Intune and some of the cloud services. The Intune one goes from 10 to 25, and the cloud goes from 25 to 100. So there's benefits there that are available.
Yeah, I think that depends on whether you've got silver or gold.
Correct,
sort of
yep.
Competency in terms of how many you get. So, no, that's good to see, and that, I guess, that will help organisations, you know, adopt those sorts of things more internally because it's more accessible. So, no, that's some good stuff there.
So we moved on to Kevin Turner, and he talked a lot, and he was actually really good this time.
He's a great communicator,
yeah.
Isn't he? He's so passionate about Microsoft, its products, and you know, getting in and supporting the partner community.
Yeah, he's a big advocate for the partner community, and he gets it. And it was really good seeing him pull together a lot of the stories. Some of the things he talked about that I thought were quite interesting was that the System Center 2012 product range. We're going to see something coming out. I think he said between October and November time frame.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be the whole suite, but we're going to start seeing them coming out, which is really, really good.
Mm.
We saw some discussion. Now, this is something you picked up on, which I missed, is around Windows 8.
Yeah, but look, and the media hadn't, you know, none of the other media had sort of, you know, covered this. And in fact, you know, we tweeted about this. We had a question back. You know, a couple of the US media were asking for copies of our slides and content there, because we noticed that in one of Kevin Turner's slides it referred to Windows 8, and it referred to it in Microsoft's fiscal year 2012, which actually ends at the end of June 2012. So that is certainly a suggestion that we're going to see Windows 8 in the first half of 2012. So, I mean, you're probably not able to sort of, you know, officially comment on those dates, Brad, but you know, you'd have an opinion on that?
No comment there.
So, yeah, following on, what we're going to to do shortly is dive into some discussions with some of the Microsoft partners from New Zealand that are here at the WPC. Brad, any other highlights for you from what we've heard so far today?
Yeah, look, I think the big thing was also Kevin Turner. We've got Justin sitting with us here at the moment. Justin, from Kevin Turner's bits and pieces, what do you sort of pull out from the compete stuff? He's a very passionate man, and I like hearing what he has to say. So from your perspective, though, as a partner, what do you think?
I thought Kevin today was fantastic. I mean, he really lifted the whole conference. He sort of took it up to another level. Great orator. He really nailed it. I think what's great is that Microsoft has got a much stronger story, and he came out with a really strong statement today, which was competitors make us stronger. And because Microsoft have evolved to compete, they've really stepped up their game, and they're in a really good place at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, from a product perspective, I mean, we saw some really good things come up on the screen today. I mean, something Paul picked up on earlier was that Windows 8, and he said FY12. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul got all excited next to me, thinking, does that mean it's going to be out before June 30th, FY12? Could be a bit of a, I don't know if it's a small leak or not.
It's not very clear, is it? And I guess, yeah, it could mean all sorts of things. And, you know, I was chatting to Mary J. Foley about this one, and her comment was, well, you know, it doesn't make it 100% clear what that means, whether that means there's a beta out during that time frame, whether it's released. So, yeah.
I think the positive thing for Windows 8 is that the apps are going to be compatible with Windows 7. So you can be really, really sure that if you invest in the app ecosystem for Windows 7 and get in the marketplace, that's not wasted money. So I think they're really keen. I mean, one of the big messages was that too many customers, too many Microsoft customers, too many, I mean, end user customers are on old technology. And he really wants to get rid of Windows XP, Office 2003, and IE6.
Yeah, I mean, what those products are all end of life 2014. So, I mean, from that perspective, customers and partners need to start moving out there to get off XP, don't they?
But it's a bigger issue than that, because I think Microsoft can have a bad reputation. But if you're on 10-year-old technology, then it's 10 years old. You know, you're not comparing like with like. You've got to compare apples with apples. And I think that the big thing he was saying was, don't let customers be on crappy old technology that they maybe don't like as much, when they could have amazing new technology.
So the other thing I also pulled out was System Center. Now, we think System Center is going to come out in around October, November timeframe, but that's going to be a really powerful tool for managing your private and public clouds. I mean, a lot of the sessions that Paul and I have attended while being here have really showed that convergence now of that one pane of glass to actually view everything. So, you know, and if you can manage your public and private clouds from, you know, one view, then it's going to be a lot easier to provision, but also for partners to be able to do multi-tenancy. And that's going to be huge.
Well, I think there's been a bit of a misnomer or mislabeling of virtualization being private cloud, and without management, without scaling up the number of machines through automation that you can manage, it's not a private cloud.
Agreed.
If users can't self-provision and self-maintain the virtual machines and instances, then it's not a private cloud.
Not at all. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing come with this next range of products, Windows Server 8 or 2012 or whatever, you know, that ends up being called. I think it's very much headed in that direction, and this next iteration of System Center products really enable the private cloud from a perspective of being able to have that, but without needing all sorts of third-party products, tools, other virtualization platforms and so on, right? You will be able to do that with a pure Microsoft stack. Yeah.
And I think the really interesting thing there is with the competencies, combining the System Center and virtualization competency is absolutely spot on, because it reinforces that, you know, if you want to do private cloud, you've got to have automation. I think that's really, really strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, KT, Kevin Turner, likes to run around. I mean, he also covered Apple around that, sort of where he was going with the Apple.
He was great talking about the competitors, wasn't he? Because we don't often hear Microsoft, somebody from Microsoft get up mention the competitors by name and talk about them specifically and what Microsoft is doing to compete.
Yeah, he really broke it down to quite a granular level. I mean, he did Google, Salesforce, Oracle, VMware, and Apple.
Yeah.
And it was really, before in the past, they've sort of tiptoed around it, and it's almost like they've now more in your face direct saying what we're going to do.
Well, I think the difference is that Microsoft not only has a clear strategy,
internally behind the scenes that we don't know all the details of, but there's enough of it now that they can talk about it. They've got enough, you know, momentum and enough on the table to actually be able to start talking about where they're at in terms of against these competitors. And a lot of the numbers that were mentioned, you know, shows that Microsoft is doing pretty well against a number of those competitors.
But I think an interesting, you know, maybe, you know, a cross-reference for that is that Microsoft are being much more accepting about other devices.
Yes, you know, definitely.
Consumerization, I love that. Yeah. You know, because I think consumers want choice, and Microsoft, when you're seeing the Link client, it comes out on Windows 7 phone first, but it's coming to Android and iPhone, and it'll come to iPad. You know, they're gonna go across all the devices, which is really strong. And if you know,
it's very different from Microsoft in the past too. They were normally stuck to their own platform.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, walking around with a Mac in Microsoft has never been a popular pastime.
But which Justin does, by the way.
Yeah. But I do run Office, and Office 2011, for example, I mean, it hasn't had a big show here, but Office 2011 is a fantastic product.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know, you know, that the Mac operating system is a, you know, the licensing that Microsoft can put on a Mac operating system is a very profitable business for them. So we shouldn't, you know, knock it.
No, and it's good. And, you know, the reality is today we're seeing more and more people that are bringing Apple products into their businesses, and you know we would see that across most of the companies that my firm looks after. There is an Apple product in there, whether it's an iPhone, an iPad, MacBook Pro, you know, etc. And then there's the creative firms, and they've always had Apple within those environments for a long, long time. And some of the stuff we saw today too pointed at System Center and Intune, which I hadn't noticed before. In fact, we'd been asking about, you know, when's Intune going to embrace these other platforms, and the slide today really gave the suggestion that Intune, in future iterations, and I guess, you know, we're not going to see that this year, but, you know, maybe next year or further down the track, we're going to see the these other platforms being linked into Intune, which is really smart on Microsoft's part to be the glue that holds everything else together.
Yeah.
And you know, most businesses are going to want to have the thing that is most compatible with that glue, right? As it's been in the past, people have had a Windows server. Oh, what works best with that? Oh, a Windows machine. Oh, we've got an Exchange server. You know, what works best with that? I think people are going to continue to look in that direction, particularly if Microsoft's offering in each of these spaces is seen as being extremely competitive, if not, you know, the best. Then, you know, it makes sense for businesses to keep buying their offerings.
Justin, you had something you want to add on there?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the really interesting things there is that in addition to, Kevin, you know, talking about the consumerization, in particular, you know, he was saying that the better we sell products into consumers, the better businesses buy products, because you get rid of that conflict between the consumerization of IT that's driven by the people, the real people who consume the IT, and the IT who provide it. So I think Microsoft is starting to have some real answers to some of the consumerization issues that IT managers have really been struggling with.
So one of the highlights really from this morning, you know, has to have been hearing Sir Richard Branson getting interviewed by John Roskell, who heads up the partner area of Microsoft. And there were questions that basically came in from partners, which was a really cool way to do it. So shall we cut across and hear a little bit of that session with Sir Richard Branson now?
Yep, let's cut over.
Okay, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Sir Richard Branson. Good morning. Welcome to WPC 2011. Have a seat.
Hello, everybody.
Well, it's great. Great to have you here. You know, the partners are super excited about getting your entrepreneurial perspective on business, some of the things you've done. I thought it might be good to start with one of the things you mentioned at the end of the video. You said, screw it, let's do it. Obviously, that's got something to do with deciding whether or not you're going into a business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think that people can analyze things to death and end up not doing things that, which they, if they just given it a try, you know, it often doesn't cost that much money to, you know, to give it a go. Even if they fail, you know, they would have learned something by trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sometimes they'll succeed. And in my life, I've, I don't know, maybe started about 400 companies, and most of them, the accountants would have said, you know, given me lots of good reasons why not to do it. But by just saying, you know, screw it, let's do it, you know, we've managed to succeed with more than the ones we've failed.
You talked about being the champion of the customer as well in the video. Maybe you can give us some advice on how you think about that and what we should all be thinking about. I know it's one of the things at Microsoft we try to challenge ourselves on, and we don't always do as well as we would like.
Well, first of all, to be champion of the customer, you've got to be champion of your own people, and you've got to be a great motivator of people, a great, you know, great leader of people. You've got to be looking, you know, for the best in your team, never criticizing, and I think that's, you know, that's essential. I think a well-run company is run by people who feel secure in themselves, you know, to be great motivators of people. It's very important that your staff, you know, I mean, 90% of your time you spend at work, and it should be fun, and it's up to the people running companies to make sure it is fun. And you know, it doesn't cost much to throw a barbecue and, you know, supply some drinks occasionally, and make sure that your staff have a good time, and you know, going out of your way to make sure that your staff, you know, are genuinely enjoying what they're doing, and it's not just a chore, is very important. I think a lot of us need to be a lot more flexible in, you know, how we treat our staff. I mean, you know, should, you know, if somebody wants to go on unpaid leave for a while, you know, welcome it. Don't sort of frown on it. If somebody wants to work from homes on, you know, Fridays or Mondays, you know, let them work from home Fridays and Mondays. And if you know, if people you know, if people want a job share, don't think of them being lazy, or if they want to go part time, don't think of them as being lazy. You know, the great thing about, you know, them job sharing or going part time is that will create more jobs, which will actually help the economy. And actually, it's very good for the company, because people are then doing the things they want to do.
All right, so WPC this year, it's about companies, and they're making big bets as we go through this industry transformation, thinking about going to the cloud. And what we'd like to ask you is, can you share an example of risks you've taken making big bets, perhaps different than the airline industry, which we've talked about a bit, specifically going out ahead of the industry. Industry seemed like it was going somewhere, and you made a bet and went out ahead of it. Who did you seek from advice? Where did you look for guidance? You know, anything in that sort of area?
Now, look, I think the important, you know, since a lot of the people in this room have got companies which, you know, maybe turn over $15, $20 million, you know, the important thing is that, you know, yes, you should take bold moves and take bold risks, but you know, protecting the downside is key. So try not to make any one move that's going to, you know, just destroy the company that you've built up. You know, we went from owning an independent record company into starting an airline, and my fellow directors at the record company, you know, thought I needed to see a shrink. And I think my bank manager thought I needed to see a shrink. But you know, what I did was a deal with Boeing, where we could buy one secondhand 747 off them, but hand it back at the end of the the first 12 months if the business didn't work out. And that meant that I knew that the downside risk was about half the profits of the Virgin record label, and therefore it was acceptable. And since, you know, once it started working, we ordered a second plane and we let it grow. So just make sure you protect the downside and don't mortgage your house too often, which, to be perfectly honest, I did do on a few occasions.
Well, let's talk about where the airlines business might be going and the future holds and what you're doing with space travel. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, it's one of the most exciting things that we've ever done. And I mean, NASA are sort of getting, you know, the governments are not going to be running, I think, the future of space travel. I think private enterprise is. And I think, you know, Virgin Galactic, you know, is at the forefront of that. And, you know, a year from now, I'll be going up with my children into space. And
that's exciting. I didn't realize you were that close. So.
Yeah, we're very, very close. And I think we can bring the price down over the next decade or two, you know, to levels where most people in this room ought to be able to become astronauts. I mean, it's going to be tremendously exciting.
Yes, thanks. Yeah.
There you are.
So we're here with one of the New Zealand partners, Mason Pratt from Provoke Solutions. You're based in Wellington, is it?
Based in Wellington, yeah. And office in Auckland.
Excellent. So tell us about your time here. You've won a major award. You've had lunch with a technology celebrity. A lot's been happening.
We absolutely rapt to have picked up Country Partner of the Year Award for New Zealand. So had an opportunity to get on stage this morning and wave the Kiwi flag and represent.
Yeah, we saw you up there waving it. It's great to be able to represent the country, and congratulations on winning the award.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
So what does that mean for Provoke as a business, though, by winning that award?
Well, it kind of validates what we've been doing for the last 10 years. I know the award's just for the last 12 months, and we've had a stonking 12 months. It really has been busy and productive and exciting. And I kind of look at this as being the pinnacle of what we've been working towards over the last 10. I can't really explain how I felt this morning getting up on stage. It was pretty euphoric. I kind of felt like I was, that 10-year-old kid walking out at the Olympic Games, holding the New Zealand flag. It's good, and I think just over the next couple of days, and particularly over the next couple of weeks, it'll start to sink in, and we'll start to, I guess, reap some real benefit from taking it away.
Great. And the lunch that you had, tell us about that.
Oh, with the Barminator, yeah. So we had a luncheon for all the award winners, and John Roskell was hosting us, and he got up and said a couple of nice words just about the Partner Network, and I had a chance to have a wee chat with him, and Steve came up and I guess really just echoed his thoughts and feelings about changes to the NPN and how they've been rolled out, and I've got to say it's been a big change from what was pitched to us last year. And we did walk away from WPC thinking, hey, how this is going to pan out, how the changes to the competency network are going to change, how's that going to change our business, and it's good to see it all sort of come to fruition and make sense. So it's good. I came up to DC last year and I got to share an intimate roundtable with Steve, just around the cloud strategy. And so it's kind of good 12 months on getting a chance again to rub shoulders with the big guy.
Yeah.
And what you've seen at WP so far, has that sort of, confirmed and validated for the roadmap moving forward as well? Do you feel confident about what you've seen?
Yeah, I do. There hasn't been anything that's earth-shattering in terms of, what's coming up. It really is just cementing, some of the story, particularly around cloud. As a company, our value proposition is around innovation, so we have to focus on early adoption, and we've done that with SharePoint, we did that with BPOS, we're doing that with Office 365, and WinPhone development. So as long as we're staying, ahead of the curve in terms of the latest Microsoft technology, we're in a good space. And so it's kind of nice coming up here and again seeing the last 12 months, particularly around cloud, how that messaging sort of actually turned into a go-to-market. It does validate what we've been doing. So from a technology perspective, it gives us confidence, and I think really in terms of new stuff coming up, Windows 8 is probably the most exciting thing for us.
Sure. And you know, as an organisation for Provoke, as a Microsoft partner, how many times have you come up to the Worldwide Partner Conference? You know, is it something you're going to keep doing? Are you going to bring more people, less people? You know, is it a good investment? Because it's a big block of your time. You're taking a week out to come here. You've got flights, accommodation, you know, registrations and so on. You know, you're getting good value out of that.
I think we are. Yeah. I mean, there's a big opportunity cost. There's a big financial cost as well for us doing that. We've always had two or three people up. This year we've brought three Provokers up. It's something that we're going to look to continue. Brendan Ford, our CTO, has been up for the last 6 years, so he's been talking about the value to the business for doing this, and it's good having seen it now firsthand. And I think not just from a content and the session perspective, it's the networking opportunity, it's the chance to get out and have a few beers with the guys from Microsoft, globally, which works. And we've made some fantastic connections in terms of our partner ecosystem up here, which is going to help us push into the new markets, up into Seattle and up into the Philippines and Southeast Asia. So from a value perspective, it's awesome. Yeah.
And is Provoke looking to expand out of New Zealand and move up into those markets? That's the plan?
That's the plan, yep. So the vision for us over the next 5 years is 5-on-3. That's 5 offices on 3 continents. And we've got to critical mass down in Wellington. We're growing the Auckland shop now. We've registered an office in Seattle, and so we're spending the next week up at campus just to further some of the connections and drive some new business. So yeah, we are looking to go offshore, and with some recent experiences up in Asia, really, really exciting time for us.
And are you looking to, if you go up to Seattle, are you looking to actually get close to the Microsoft campus up there and be sort of embedded, if you like, with that sort of group up there as well? Is that the plan?
That's the plan. I think Microsoft as our client is going to be the beachhead for us. Yeah. And we've been really successful working with the guys in Redmond, bringing offshore opportunities down. We were lucky enough to build the Contoso demos for SharePoint 2010. So in terms of getting us a head start on what the rest of the world's doing, you can't ask for a better opportunity than that. So it is about extending that and getting some deeper relationships, and then hopefully expanding further around the west coast of the States.
That's great.
Now, have you had a chance to look around the marketplace here at all?
Yeah, marketplace is fantastic. Some of the innovations we've seen are pretty exciting. We've been behind WinPhone in terms of the development, and so having a chance to play around with Mango is blowing our socks off. So I've just made the switch back to WinPhone. I've been dabbling with the iPhone, and I'm pretty sold on the WinPhone platform now. So seeing the Surface in action now, so seeing the new form factor. Yeah. It's these sexy technologies that are actually becoming a little bit more mainstream and actually driving more business value for us. So good marketplace this year.
There's that consumerization of IT. You hear the buzzword about it.
Yeah.
But I think we're actually seeing a lot of that with the Surface looking like a TV, and just the way you can interact. If you start developing on that, with HTML5, which would be Windows 8, imagine having full screen apps and all that. It's nice to see what they've talked about start to actually come through. So
yeah, and I touched on Windows 8 before, and it's really the convergence of the browser, and the mobile. The missing piece of the puzzle for us is Windows 8. It's all the same technology stack now, so we're used to building, Silverlight, using CSS, and so HTML5, we're doing a project with Microsoft back in New Zealand on that at the moment, so it really does, it's the missing piece of the puzzle, and that's kind of exciting to, see the new user experience around the tile-based metaphor for Windows 8, I think that's going to be, where we head from a user experience perspective.
That's great. Now, there are a few other events, coming up. We've got TechEd happening in Auckland next month, and then there's a Build conference up in, is it Vegas?
Anaheim
in September. Where's Provoke as far as those events are concerned? Are those things you'll plug into as well?
Yep, so we take 10 people up to TechEd every year, and that's an opportunity for, the best of the best at Provoke to see what's on the roadmap. And so we're looking forward to that. I think that's in August or July,
yeah,
August this year.
Late August, yeah.
And I've just seen sort of notes about the Build conference, and if we're going to go down the Windows 8 track, then we've got to look seriously at sending someone up to that as well. Might run out of time, but looking at the SharePoint conference that's coming up too, there's a good opportunity for us. So, you really can't underestimate the value that you get from these sessions and the connections that you can make.
Cool. good, good. Oh well, it's you know, it's great to see how you're succeeding, and you know, it seems that partnering up with Microsoft is working very well for Provoke.
It certainly is. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Good. Congratulations. And congratulations on the win.
Thanks, Mason.
See you later.
Okay, so yeah, really, really good to hear about what's happening at Provoke. Now we dive into another partner interview.
Yeah, this one's really good. So this is Pablo Garcia from the SoftSource environment, and yeah, we're going to have a sit down and have a quick chat with Pablo now.
So right here now with Pablo Garcia from SoftSource. Pablo, how are you enjoying WPC this year?
Loving it. It's always electric atmosphere here, and this year's over 16,000, or just under 16,000 partners. So connecting people around the world and sharing what we're doing in the industry is always exciting.
It's great. And you've been here before, right? I mean, I remember being here last year. How many years have you been?
Yeah, this is my fourth visit to WPC.
Wow.
And there's always something new and exciting, and this year's exactly the same.
So on day three today in the keynote, we had KT stand up, and really, I actually think give one of his better speeches personally. We had Sir Richard Branson. What have been the key things you pulled out of this morning's session?
Kevin Turner is always an interesting character on stage, but he's certainly determined, and he likes winning. There's no doubt about that, and part of his message is that he wants to compete out there. He believes he's got a portfolio of products that are going to allow him to do that and change some of the market out there. And as Microsoft partners and someone who's come to WPC for a long time, we've seen that, and we've put it together in the last couple of years and joined them in that vision that he's had. And we are excited that now that is here, it's a reality. We've moved our business to cloud, and we've got a whole new offering for our customers out there, and it's exciting times for us as well.
And some of the new innovation that's coming out, that was System Center and Windows Server 8, do you see that as a forward step for your business, or are you feeling comfortable with what you're seeing at the moment?
Yeah, so taking a step back, I suppose we've now infrastructure as a service company, and as well as the traditional hybrid model that we are transitioning to, and Microsoft is very clear that they want to offer both, and they believe that the next couple of years it's going to be the right way to do that. So we took that away from the keynotes as well today, and all these new features are coming in these product sets are certainly going to allow us to create dynamic solutions for our customers, and also assist them to move what cloud it's going and how it's going to affect their businesses for them.
So I know you guys have done a lot of work with Pinpoint, and I've become a bit of a Pinpoint fan, I must admit, over the last few days. For the partners out there, can you just tell them sort of the value of what you guys have seen with Pinpoint and how it sort of helped you guys out?
Yeah, so it's early days. So Microsoft is obviously putting the ecosystem in showing that to other people and businesses in a different way. So keeping your competencies is one of the main things in Pinpoint. The more effort you get there, you're actually going to be rewarded by some leads and opportunities that they will put back to it, but actually set to the customers search it through Pinpoint and find you. So you need to find your competencies and differentiators in your business, and therefore demonstrate in Pinpoint. So when customers want that solution or want that differentiator, they can actually look for you and know where you are and who you are.
So you touched on a good point there around the competencies. Now this morning they announced sort of two new ones. One we sort of knew about, which is the systems management and virtualization one, and the other one was the Link one. Are they something that you see that would be good for you and other partners to sort of embrace and get involved in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, it all comes down to what your business is doing and what offerings you want to take to your customers. We can try and do everything to everybody, but it's not going to work. So you need to concentrate on what you're achieving and what you're doing, and then move forward from there and invest in that type of solution.
Cool. And around WPC, obviously, we're in the main hall right now. There's a lot of stands around us at this point in time. What sort of piece of technology have you sort of gone, wow, as you've looked around?
Technologies that are impressive. Obviously, Link is one of them that's coming. I think it's going to have a big influence in the marketplace.
Yep.
We're looking at obviously at Office 365 and how can that be used in a hybrid model with customers today. And also, I suppose some of the neat features, things like Connect, which are something that consumer model has now, but it's obviously moving forward after that.
Cool. And obviously, WPC, for an organisation, it's actually quite a big investment to come up here. What value do you see, pro or con, about coming up to WPC for SoftSource?
Yeah, I think we made that decision many years ago when we saw WPC, and now we don't see it as a cost, we actually see it as an investment, because we are being able to connect with other partners around the world, to share some of the offerings and ideas and how we can actually influence the technology that we deliver to our customers, and we can take it from there.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks very much for sharing with with us, Pablo. That's great, and we'll certainly look forward to seeing you again at the next WPC as well.
Thanks, guys.
Excellent. Cheers for that. Okay, that was excellent to hear from SoftSource. Now we're going to cut across to the interview that that we carried out with Mary Jo Foley. Mary Jo is from ZDNet, and she is one of the world's leading writers and reporters on Microsoft globally, with her All About Microsoft blog. Let's cut across to that now. Welcome along, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Now, you write the All About Microsoft column, is that right?
That's right. I'm ZDNet.
Yep. And you've been following and reporting on Microsoft for some time.
I have. On ZDNet for about 4 years, and then just my very first article about Microsoft was in 1984. When I interviewed Bill Gates.
That's cool.
Great interview.
Wow.
Yep, it was fun. It wasn't that fun, though. I mean, it was fun for me. It wasn't so fun for him because I was a brand new journalist who didn't know anything about technology, and I got an audience with Bill Gates.
And he gets very frustrated very quickly.
He did.
Yes.
Yes. I got lots of, this is the stupidest question I've ever heard, multiple times.
Oh, really?
There are many stupid questions. Yes. But he's much different now.
Yes, he's a bit more mellow now, I think.
Much more.
Yeah. Which is nice to see.
Yeah. So what would you say were the highlights from your time at WPC?
Well, my biggest highlight here was getting to see Windows Server 8.
Yes.
Which was really surprising because I didn't think they were going to show that here.
No, we didn't know about that either. That was great to hear about.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't see a lot of it. You know, we got like literally like a 2 minute presentation where they were doing a live demo.
But what we saw looked really
impressive.
Good.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
good.
I mean, so what they showed us was Hyper-V Replica, which is going to be the way they replicate VMs and across multiple VMs across hugely, like 16 processor machines, you know, and bigger. So we know they're shooting for like very high scale, and they seem to have it working actually.
And it looks like it's just a standard core feature across the whole product range. Yeah,
right.
The thing for me also was that normally a lot of that replication software requires you've got to have X, Y hardware.
Yep.
They actually announced that they said any hardware, any SAN, any NIC, will just do it, and that's huge because what that does is take those enterprise features to any business.
It does,
and it's really really good.
And the other thing they kind of let drop was they're not going to keep multiplying the charges for the VMs, right? There's going to be like a base charge, and then that's it. Like you can have as many VMs as you want. And there's not going to be additional charges.
Yeah, and that makes the Microsoft offering very competitive against VMware, and of course VMware have been restructuring some of their license fees and so on. Yeah. So it's a smart play.
It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other highlight, I think, today we heard about them opening more retail stores, and they talked about having 75 new stores within 2 to 3 years. So that's kind of surprising because there's been this debate, were they going to go whole hog and do all these stores, or were they going to kind of say, well, you know, we did some stores, and it didn't work out that well.
What do you think of the stores? Have you been to the one in Los Angeles?
No, I've been to the one in Bellevue, right outside of Microsoft, and I really thought it was nice. And the people who are working there were really well-educated about the Microsoft products, and I'm dying for them to do a store in New York, which is where I live.
Oh, okay.
Because buying a PC in New York right now is horrible. If you don't have a car, which I don't, you can't go out to some like big superstore and look at all the PCs. You're just stuck with whatever is at, you know, Best Buy or Circuit City or whatever. And the pickings are small.
And what I really like also is that they do that signature range, clean, get to the bloatware on there.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's very Apple-like, you know, very clean, very good experience. Now, for us, we're a million miles away from America.
Yeah.
We would love to have some of this down, but it's very American-focused at the moment.
It really is. You know, they said it's also going to expand outside the U.S.
Yeah.
But when I asked for more details, no, nothing. Mm. We're not going to say when, where, how.
Yeah.
But hopefully, maybe you'll get a store.
Yeah, it's a good sign. And hopefully, I heard some talk a few months ago, it might have been Paul Thurrott, was talking about the signature, class or the signature builds of the PCs maybe becoming available through other channels rather than just through Microsoft. I think that would be really good if some of the other players actually picked up on that, because it's much nicer than getting a machine that's got all this bloatware and other sort of stuff dropped on top, right?
I think the other nice thing about the stores also is they're actually showing a full range of hardware in there too. And obviously with Windows 8, we're hoping sort of slate, really thin slates come out. It'll be a great way to just visually see everything.
It will.
And it'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, and the other thing that's a great venue in these stores is for Windows Phone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't know how it is in New Zealand, but in the US, it's a horrible buying experience right now for the phones, because you go into Verizon or AT&T here, and the clerks, they just do not want to sell you those phones.
They want to sell you what either
iPhone.
They use personally,
right.
What they make the most money on.
Exactly.
They're actually, they don't have any motivation to show you
they
this
don't.
New platform that's coming through.
When I went into my Verizon store, which is a really big Verizon store in New York, and I said to the guy at the door, I want to buy a Windows phone. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm like, yep, I do, actually. And he's like, we have a lot of good iPhones and Droids, and we got a lot of Android. And, I'm like, no, I want a Windows phone. Do you have any? And he's like, yeah, they're over there. And so I went and got one, and he's like, you really want to buy this, huh?
Wow.
I mean, like, they're telling you, don't buy it,
And not helpful, is
no.
it?
No.
No.
And I said to him, I've been using the loaner phone for a while. And he's like, oh, you must work for Microsoft. So I'm like, I don't. No. And it was just a really intimidating and not a good retail experience.
It's really odd, isn't it?
Yeah, I went into an AT&T store when I landed to organise some AT&T SIM cards for our phones so that, we didn't get charged $5,000 for our data while we're here for the week.
Yeah.
And, I had a discussion with them around Windows Phone as well, and they had one there, and it was well priced and so on, but, oh, no, we don't have any stock at the moment. And, it was a similar story, probably not quite as negative as yours.
Yeah.
Experience, but quite surprising when it's this exciting new platform that is really capable.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens when the Nokia
right.
starts to happen. Where you've got 100 million phones,
right.
How are they going to start sort of positioning it? Oh no, now we love it.
Right.
It's going to be really interesting to see how they change that perspective and everything.
I know,
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Mary Jo, for joining us here at the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference. We look forward to having an opportunity to chat to you on our show next week, on our main show.
Wow, what a great discussion with Mary Jo there. We're a real privilege to have her along. Paul, over to you.
Yeah, well, it's been a fantastic day here. I think, we both say that we've been enjoying our time here at Microsoft's Worldwide Partner Conference. Great discussions with partners, and again, definitely a privilege and an enjoyable time having a quick word there with Mary Jo Foley. We will be picking that up again. There's a wider discussion that we're going to have with Mary Jo Foley. That will be on our main episode next week, and we have a 20 to 30 minute chat with Mary Jo Foley, so encourage you to come back and listen into that episode. You will be able to find all of that at our website, NZ, or if you're in the US, nztechpodcast.com. On Twitter, our handle there is nztechpodcast.com, and of course we're also facebook.com/nztechpodcast. So we do look forward to hearing from you. If you have any feedback for us, please get in touch. That wraps it up for today with our Wednesday show coming from Los Angeles, and we have one more in the special series covering Microsoft WPC 2011 LA tomorrow, and then we'll be back to our normal NZ Tech podcast schedule from next week. Thanks very much for listening in.
Yep, thanks everyone, and thank you to Brent Colbert from Microsoft. Cheers guys, bye.
Cheers.